This just in, and this is huge. Huge. Well, actually, it's huge. Newly unearthed video just brought out. It shows Hitler doing the Donald Trump dance. Can you believe this? Holy cow. See? Now, I want to see Mika and Joe do it. I want to see them on their show, open their show someday with YMCA and do the what they call the Trump dance. That would be too cool for school, eh? Yeah. I didn't get a chance to comment it, but I posted it on my Facebook page. Newly unearthed video shows Hitler did the Trump dance. Yeah, now, that's not what I wanted to talk about here. Let's get away from that. I want to get back into these recess appointments. And do I have time to do this now? Let's do the recess appointments first. I've got nine things RFK Jr. plans to do on day one to make America healthy again. I'll give you a hint. The first one is require all fat kids to run behind the bus to school. And pick up the pace, tubbies, yeah. And by the way, I can't remember if I addressed this yesterday, but is it time to bring back No Fat Chicks t-shirts? Remember those? Those were huge, especially in New Orleans. Every t-shirt shop had gazillions of them. You'd see them on the streets. See them in Florida, too. No Fat Chicks t-shirts. Is it time to bring them back? I think it's time to bring them back. Let's see here. Back into this piece, and what we're sharing with you is understanding recess appointments as President Trump prepares for a second term. The Supreme Court and NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, which shouldn't even exist, versus Noel Canning, a canning company, agreed, holding 9-0, that the recess appointments clause did not empower Obama to make those appointments, splitting between two opinions and exactly what the constitutional provisions authorize. Now, we shared with you before the break the Obama thing. I don't want to get deep. I don't want to go through this again. I want to keep moving on here. Justice Stephen Breyer wrote the majority opinion for five justices, surveying varying historical practices since 1789, with majority held that three-day pro forma sessions are too short for recess appointments. This is when they were screwing around saying, okay, let's see, the senator just went home. All right, get somebody to go in and gavel back in, or rather have the president before they gavel and make a recess appointment. Yeah, that's it. Specifically, the majority added that recesses that are longer than 3 days but less than 10 days are presumptively too short to open the door for recess appointments, but did not go on to explain what sort of circumstances could overcome that presumption so that the president could make appointments during that window. But the practical takeaway is clear. If you want to give a president a clear alternate path for nominees who are having difficulty getting confirmed, make sure you adjourn for at least 10 days. The president will take care of the rest. And that's all they got to do once they get into power here, yeah, which is coming up about 60 days. Eh? So long as there are at least 51 senators willing to adjourn for at least 10 days, 50 plus the vice president as a tiebreaker, the president can make recess appointments that last roughly as long as typical political appointment, although the House also must consent to the Senate adjourning for that long, which won't be an issue. House procedures allow the Speaker of the House to get such a measure through the chamber with fewer obstacles than the Senate, so as long as the Speaker supports the move, it is harder to block consent in the House. It is worth noting that the Constitution adds, hang on a second here, choking my ass off over here, and the rest of me too. By the way, if I fall forward and die, I've loved working with you. I've loved it, simply loved it. You've been a great audience. It is worth noting that the Constitution, and Derek's been great working with you too. find somebody else to clean up the room over here, okay? But it is worth noting that the Constitution adds that if the House and Senate cannot agree on how long to adjourn, then the president has the authority to adjourn the entire Congress and also to set the date that members will reconvene, specifically providing that he may adjourn them at such time as he shall think proper. That reminds me, by the way, you know that Red Lobster has reintroduced that special they had on shrimp. They've moved it from all you can eat to a reasonable amount. They now have reasonable amount of shrimp. Yeah. So if one chamber is willing to adjourn for at least 10 days, but the other is not, it is conceivable the president could adjourn them for, let's say, 11 days and make recess appointments during that time. President Trump won a historic victory. You see how this is all manipulated and can be worked? So we're safe. We're good to go. President Trump won a historic victory this month, winning both 312 in the Electoral College and the popular vote in the modern version of a landslide, generating a red wave and also a 53-47 majority in the Senate and a slim majority in the House. And and while it is possible that Republicans could have won a nominal majority in the Senate without Donald Trump, it is beyond debate that they would not have as large a majority as they have were it not for the groundswell of public support for the 47th president. Oh, that gives me chills. I love that. Truly love that. Isn't it going to be wonderful to see Kamala have to gavel in the electoral votes? It really is. She's not going to get out of that. That's going to be sweet. I hope we get some word salad on that, too. Yeah, that'd be cool in hell. Senate Democrats took their obstruction at unprecedented heights to unprecedented heights during Donald Trump's first term, attempting to block countless appointees, sometimes with the tired old cliche that they claimed Trump was illegitimate. Democrats think the public would forget the Democrats likewise said George W. Bush was illegitimate. They said Reagan was, too, and used it as a pretext for obstructing his appointees as well. But Trump's 2024 victory was so decisive that questions about legitimacy will fall on deaf ears today, leaving only those with acute cases of Trump derangement syndrome, TDS for short, making such claims this time around. And by the way, the Trump administration has learned. They have learned. I used to wonder about that coming up toward electoral season here. But they've learned. They're not playing around this time. This is it. This is not 2016. Uh-uh. Not anymore. It's not 2020. This guy's going to burn it to the ground. I love it. The Constitution provides a path both for Senate confirmation for the president's top picks and for recess appointments if needed. And now all eyes will be on the Senate to see what senators have the political will to do as President Trump returns to the White House. And by the way, all eyes will be on these senators because we want them gone. If they stand against Donald Trump in any way, anybody on the Republican side, and definitely all Democrats, but anybody on the Republican side, I don't care who it is, Murkowski, whatever, Ernst, whatever, Collins, they need to be gone, straight up gone. If they stand against Trump, they're standing against we, the people. That's it. That's how it works, 100%. If you want to see this piece, I posted it on Theodore Lexington on Facebook. You can also see it on Breitbart. It posts as of yesterday. I'd urge you to get a copy of this printed out so that you can explain to your friends, maybe over Thanksgiving dinner, what this appointment process is all about. And explain to them that an electoral college is necessary. And explain, too, that Trump won. He won, man. There's no doubt about it. And, yeah, we're coming for all you progressive bastards. We really are. We're not going to do anything bad to you. We're just going to fire your ass. I can't have a job anymore. You find one. Hello, and welcome to Walmart. You want fries with that? Hey, man, Trump paved the way.